Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean.
I'm Matthew.
And on this week's episode, in our final episode, we bring you Season 8, Episode 8, How It's Gotta Be. Dude, it took 8 seasons for Maggie to do something halfway interesting.
But you have so quickly forgotten her Viking barbarian fucking signpost chopping heads off with a fucking street sign. That was dope. Come on. You just joined the fucking hate train all full tilt. Nah, nothing good happens. I'm just going to hate it all.
No, but I'm going right into it this week, and I don't care, because here's the deal. We're done. Okay? So listen.
It's really salting the earth here, aren't we?
You know what? Yeah, this is how we do it.
Jesus.
No, but honestly, what did you think this week?
I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. I will be straight up honest because of all the other fucking internet issues and shit I've been having and shit I dealt with right before this. The last 30 minutes of this was kind of not the best viewing situation. You know, scrubbing around a little bit. Not going to lie. Didn't have the best, didn't have the most awesome just sit down and enjoy this one from the top, which is such a great way to cap our fucking coverage of this show.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Overall, I enjoyed it.
It's really funny that we're going out on this episode with Carl being killed.
Yeah, man.
It's really funny. Well, not killed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm a little bit like, just don't pull some bullshit. Like, I almost would have rather, I know this sounds mean, and I don't mean it because I'm like, fuck.
You'd rather him be dead.
I would rather see him die, actually. Yeah, like, I want to see his fucking eyes close. I want to see him have that last moment with Rick, that meaningful, sad, tragic last moment with Rick. I want to see it. I don't want to just be left with a, oh, man, he's surely going to die. Bye. Like, he's going to die. Let's see it. It's sad. It's awful. Let's see it and be done with it, and we'll come back to a grieving Rick and how we move forward. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Did not see that shit coming. That got me, man. That surprised me. I really, really didn't see it coming. Did you? I mean, did you think, if you had to plunk down money ahead of this episode that Carl was going to fucking die, he'd be the one you bet on? No.
No, absolutely not.
And it must be that Chandler Riggs is ready to do something else.
Nope, that's not what it is.
Is it not?
He got a raw deal, man, which just proves my point that Scott Gimple's a cunt.
Why do you say? What's your logic?
Apparently, his dad Chandler Riggs' dad took to Facebook to share his reaction targeting showrunner Scott Gimple with displeasure. Watching Gimple fire my son 2 weeks before his 18th birthday after telling him they wanted him for 3 years was disappointing, Riggs wrote. I never trusted Gimple or AMC, but Chandler did. I know how much it hurt him, but we do absolutely know how lucky we have been to be part of it all and appreciate all the love from the fans all these years. It's a bit contentious, apparently.
Did not catch that. Did not know that.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I don't know. But, so, like, that's on the one hand. But on the other hand, I'm like, dude, when Chandler Riggs turns 18, he's going to be like, oh, he must be 18 now. Or whatever. Just about 18. He's going to be sitting on a pretty stacked bank account. So, I'm not going to cry for him. And it's probably better off for him if he wants to be an actor. I don't even know if he does. I don't know anything about the kid. But he's sitting on a pile of cash, and he'll be fine.
He's definitely going to be fine.
Yeah. It'd be fun if they recast him next year. He survives somehow.
He's the little happy fucking blonde kid they brought in on Married with Children.
Yeah, dude.
That fucking awful kid.
Oh, piece of shit with a leather jacket. I'm going to kill him.
No. The young kid they brought in. Like, obviously some producer's nephew.
Like, oh, yeah.
They had a little cute kid. Oh, but he says bad words. Maha, what a cutie.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Crazy, that's man. Brutal. So, yeah. Oh, look. It's crazy. We got a bunch of people in the chat today. It's as if they finally decided to come join the show live now that it's ending.
Now they give a fuck.
Now they're here.
Here to dance on our grave in the shows.
They are. That's true.
That's it. That's what it is.
Everybody be nice in chat, by the way. Don't be a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
That's for our job.
we own that market. Come on.
So what was the, anything you didn't like this week or anything you were down on or what was your standout best parts? What's your best and worst? for the Walking Dead season finale for season 8. Well, mid-season finale, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it's going to sound, you know, like this, I thought, I'll just say this. So, like, the overall story in this episode, I thought was handled well, like, just structurally. I liked the amount of cutting back and forth between, like, it makes sense because it's all one night. Like, we had that problem in some episodes this season of, like, we're cutting back and forth between two or three storylines, but one in the same episode is spread out over, like, 2 or 3 days, and one is like, an engagement in 1 hour. It's almost like, it's like shitty Dunkirk, you know? Like, it's, like, spread out in a weird way. But this episode, I liked that it was all everybody being terrorized by the Saviors in one night at different places, and we're just moving back and forth between this, like, huge campaign on the Saviors' part. Like, my favorite part of this episode that I didn't think was going to be my favorite part was the menace of the Saviors this time around. Like, they were convincingly menacing. And Negan, this is the kind of Negan that we knew we could see, that he was capable of this kind of just all-out destructive mayhem and menace, and he brought it. This is an angry Negan, because we've never really seen that. We've seen him get pissed off, but not angry in the sense of, like, you truly threatened me, and now I'm bringing down full-blown sledgehammer retribution that he's always threatened. He's always talked about that. Oh, heads are going to roll. Well, you better bring out your piss pant. But, like, him actually rolling into Alexandria, plowing through the fucking gates of the truck, blowing up every fucking house and just burning it, and him just striding. Like, that's one of the times we're watching Jeffrey Dean Morgan stride in with his fucking Negan swagger. Was actually, I'm like, this is appropriate and perfect. Like, him with all the fucking smoke and the fire behind him and wielding the bat. That was, I was like, fuck, he can be fucking scary and badass. Like, I actually enjoyed that. I enjoyed watching the homes of our beloved characters razed and destroyed and Negan terrorizing them. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I was also rooting for the Saviors, which is what you're saying.
I don't know if I'm saying that. I'm not,
to put it
I'm not
succinctly, you were rooting for the Saviors, as was I. I wanted them to win
God
again.
God damn it. I'm Josh now, aren't I? I'm Josh rooting for the fucking Empire, cheering for the fucking Nazis in their cool boots.
No, man.
Fucking
I was
Josh.
I was hoping the Saviors were going to win. But they've always just been more interesting. I don't know. You know, that's kind of, that's where I got to emotionally with The Walking Dead. It's no secret that this is our last episode, and it is for many, many reasons that we've already talked about.
This is like the last bitter fucking couples counseling session between you and your divorcee. Like, you're fucking just like, I'm just gonna lay it all out. It's been a long time coming. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Well, not really. I don't Brutal. Think I've held back on my feelings for The Walking Dead.
No, that's true.
You know, I think I've been pretty honest about how I feel, much to the chagrin of some of the more positive listeners who love our stuff, and I apologize to those guys. But yeah, man, and I say that with all due respect to the show in general. I really was happy to see the Saviors off the back foot.
Right, right.
Oddly enough,
that was cool.
It's funny because I thought it was going to be more interesting to watch Rick winning, and it just wasn't because it was executed so frustratingly.
Right.
Right.
Rick's weird in this episode, man. He's the part I don't know if I'd call him my least favorite part of this episode, but like he's not really there. Like, he feels backgrounded.
Yeah, gotcha. No, man, I thought this episode was pretty cool. There's plenty of stuff that I liked. Carl getting bit was a total shock. I didn't see it coming, and I just thought, whoa. That is a genuine surprise to go after Carl. I will say
right.
that.
Yeah.
So that was something that was very unexpected and awesome. Like, I'm like, cool. That's cool that they did that. It's cool that they're going after, you know, season 7? They fucking smashed Glenn.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean,
but that was even, like, that one was kind of, I know some people didn't know, and, oh, the people who didn't read the comics didn't know, blah, blah, blah. But it was kind of a foregone conclusion that it was going to be Glenn, really, at the end of the day. I don't think any comics book person thought anything other than that was going to happen. This is genuine, I think, of any death in the show, it's the most shocking. Not because it's necessarily the most meaningful. I mean, it's still pretty fucking sad to see Carl go. But at the same time, like, that is a character who is, as far as I know, alive and well in the comics, and pretty much, you know, it is him and Rick all the way there. Like, they are the untouchable heroes. They're going to live to the fucking end, and that's that. But they fucking killed him. They up and killed him. I mean, like, that's, like I said, man, it was a genuine shock. I really never saw that coming. We've talked about that before. Like, man, if The Walking Dead wanted to really flop out its balls, you'd kill off Carl. And, I mean, kind of did that.
And we're certain he's dead. I mean, there's no question there's going to be Doctor Gets Back fuckery.
Right. I mean, like, there's a part of me that thinks Rick in that scene's like, well, maybe we could just cut off his torso.
Yeah, right.
Just cut, scoop it out with an ice cream scoop. Scoop out the bad part.
Right, right.
I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think based on the meta, I don't think we're going to see him again. And if we do, it'll be for his goodbye.
Yeah. Maybe in flashback, you know, another Herschel on the farm flashback.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure, Ben. Well, I guess we'll find out. But yeah, that's it. He's dead. He's bit. Yeah. He's done been bit. Mm-hmm. Well,
so
anything else? Any other precursors before we get into this?
I'm ready to pretty much dive in.
Okay, cool. So here's what we're going to do. This is split up a little weird. We got Rick, we got Enid and Aaron, we got all of the Alexandria stuff. I put a little section called Dumbass Establishing Reaction Shots. This is the season 8, like, souffle. it's fucking so annoying. Ezekiel, Maggie's convoy, Eugene, Dwight's convoy getting hit. That's kind of everything we got to go through. So I'm not sure how you want to do this or how you want to work through it. It's a little confusing, but...
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
So
here's what I think we should do. Okay. We'll just bang through some of these and kind of go from there, if that works out for you. Yeah. Let's just get rid of Eugene.
Just get on through that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can just plow through that.
So basically what we see is him... You know, he's drinking wine, shots of wine, I guess.
Dude, that actually made me laugh. I'm like, you are so, like, you can't ever imagine him, like, drinking actual whiskey at this point. Like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a hard shot of wine. And that Cabernet goes down smooth.
Why is he taking shots of wine? It's really weird.
I mean, I guess that's all they have. And you could even, like, I would buy it a little more if he's, you know, if that's, like, his last bottle of wine that they have, you know, and he's, like, just drinking it in small amounts because he doesn't want to drink. He's trying to, you know, make it last. But it looks like he's, like, you know, grabbing the lime fucking peel and just doing shots of wine.
Well, what do you think of Eugene this week? What do you think of this whole thing with him and having some second thoughts and being stricken with guilt and deciding that he's going to fulfill Father G's wish, despite it being a mistake in his opinion, and right. sending him off. What do you think about this?
I'm okay, and I even kind of like him making this choice because I like seeing him have, you know, some fucking agency and some choice and doing something. And, you know, he actually gets the, you know, poisons that fucking guard to have diarrhea and be off post. Like, he's still, that's such a Eugene move. Like, I'm not going to kill the guy, but I'll find a way to, you know, to non-lethally get him out of the way. But what I especially like is him not doing a full 180 in the sense of, like, okay, I finally see the light. I'm going to help Father G, and I'm going to help save Maggie and her baby and get the doctor out of here, and I'm going to come back and join him and beg for forgiveness. I like how he's still like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm done. I'm staying here. I'm not going to even attempt to try and go back and beg and wallow. I'm just, fuck it. I'll help you. I'll get you out of here. You know, get the doctor back there. That's it. I liked him stopping at that point. I can believe him having the second thoughts and being like, ah, this feels bad. And I like him even saying, I can finally get some good sleep. Like, that was cool. I did overall like this. I mean, I'm okay with this. How do you feel about his decision? I mean, do you feel like that was a quick decision, or do you feel like it was, you know, it makes sense for him and his character?
It's funny. I feel like last week we said a lot of good things about Eugene, him making some decisions and things of this nature, and making his choice to pick his side and to go forward with that. And it's interesting now that he's made a decision to go against what he just established. Like, it was this big moment. He goes in, he yells at Father G, makes his choice, he goes upstairs. And now in the next, very next episode, he's undoing that agency by, yes, having agency, but then by just kind of doing the opposite thing he just established. So I was like, that's kind of a bummer, man. Like, I kind of was hoping he was going to stick to his guns a little bit. It makes Eugene is less interesting when he is doing good deeds. He's more interesting when he's being a villain, kind of. And I don't mean a villain, but a guy in a tough spot, a guy who's in a really bad position, a guy who never really quite found himself at home among the other group and was starting to try to find himself at home among this group. And dealing with a guy like Negan, who, yes, he's a monster, but who shows Eugene that he's worthy. He has a lot of worth. He feels a lot of self-confidence. And Negan values him. And now he's going to sort of, you know, go against that. So I think it's a second decision that I think is shocking, right? The fact that he's making this decision is equally shocking to me. Well, not equally. But it's also as shocking, not as, what am I trying to say? It's shocking in an episode that I was completely and utterly shocked by Carl's death. So I didn't, if you would have told me last week, no, Eugene's going to change his mind next week after that impassioned speech he gives Father G, I would have said, yeah? Like I would have genuinely been shocked at his decision to kind of go back on that deal.
Right.
Or that decision. Right. Deal is a bad way to say it, but.
And I see it, I can see it just in the sense of Father G being there, just being, knowing he's sleeping in the same walls as you, you know, one of Rick's people who they're probably going to kill, you know, maybe Negan had some kind of plans for Father G after they got him, you know, healed up, at least where he's not going to just die in his sleep, maybe. But
I bet he wouldn't kill him. I don't think he'd kill him.
I don't think he'd kill him. He probably might give him the old Daryl treatment, three in a box, no fucking clothes. I don't know, but I think part of him just being there, I think there's a part of me that thinks he was just trying to get rid of his guilt a little more so than doing the right thing. Like, I think that's a part of it, but I think having the constant reminder of, you know, the group he was once a part of and, you know, the preacher who's basically making you feel bad about your current choice being there was also part of what was bothering him. Mm-hmm. He was kind of ready to just, like, I'm just going to get you out of here so that I don't have to look somebody in the face who is judging me on these decisions. Like, that's the part of it that I could kind of buy.
It's definitely interesting. When you take, if you take Eugene and you take the sliding scale of guilt versus survival instinct, and you start playing around with that scale and you're seeing where one tips towards the other, it's fascinating to see that his guilt is so high right now that he's willing to jeopardize his survival by freeing them, because you better hope that they get out of there. I mean, now is as good a time as any, right, for him to make this move if he's going to make it. So maybe that's why, knowing Negan is away, knowing Dwight's away, knowing Simon is away, knowing all of these top lieutenants are all out doing their thing, maybe now that I'm thinking about it and talking about it, maybe it was as good a time as any for Eugene to make his move to spring Gabriel, right?
Right. Yeah,
you better hope the doctor doesn't talk. You don't know how loyal he is. You better hope he never says anything while you're still with. You see what I'm saying? Like, he gets to the hilltop. Next thing you know, he's outside a hilltop, Negan, and he's making demands and banging on the door, and the doctor fucking spills the beans, and now Eugene's fucked. You know what I mean? Like, it's super risky to tell Father G you can escape and get him to escape is one thing, but doing it in front of the doctor, I wonder if that's going to come back to bite Eugene in the ass. And it would be a pretty cool and ironic death for him to have stuck his neck out for somebody who then turned him in, which is such a Eugene move to do if he was afraid. It'd be kind of funny. But I don't know if that's going to happen. So yeah, man, I don't know. It was pretty cool. I mean, the guy does a good job. His manner of speech is really getting out there, but whatever. It is who he is. It makes his character who he is. He's been that way the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's been a little bit shifty, a little too smart for his own fucking good. Mm-hmm. That's himself.
And sometimes not as smart as he thinks he is.
That's true, too. not quite as clever as he thinks.
That's one of his flaws, I think. He's not quite as clever as he thinks he is. But so yeah, he undoes the front guard with a making him shit himself, and definitely call somebody over though. hey, I got a shit, man.
Somebody cover my spot.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? Maybe that was the real genius of Eugene's plan, that they would be so embarrassed by their now sudden, shocking lava diarrhea that they wouldn't call anybody over because they'd be like, somebody cover for me. And they're like, why? Never mind.
Not to mention fine. Everybody's out and they're all taking the fight to everyone else. There's probably, I mean, well, you got to hope, you got to worry about counterattacks, I guess, right? But
right.
Yeah, I guess it's not totally implausible to make a guy shit himself with your gross chemical combinations in his coffee. So that was, like you said, a Eugene way to do it. Like you said, he's not going to, right, sneak up on the guy and fucking slap a rear naked choke on him and murder him. You know what I mean?
Or, yeah, or cut his throat.
Like, yeah, he's stab him in the back of the head. He's not going to do anything.
Not
going to
Daryl
that.
Him.
Right, right. Makes sense. Makes sense he did it the way he did. So that's Eugene. So,
that's
Eugene. Is Father G going to live? Is he going to make this trip?
At this point, okay, you asked me that last episode. I'm like, I think this is, I think I even said, I think we are seeing the end of Father G. Maybe not the next episode, the episode after, but we're winding down. The way this episode ended and the way Father G's getting away, and he looked like a little healthier in the scene. Looked a little
I noticed
perkier.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm like, you know, maybe he is going to be okay. Maybe he's going to make it out. And like, I also at this point with the loss of Carl, I'm like, I don't want to see Father G go either. And it's not like I wanted him to go before that, but it kind of felt a little bit, it's speaking in a meta sense of the show, of like, well, someone's going to die. A person or two is going to die this season. It's looking like Father G is being set up to be one of those. And you just kind of started to think it was just coming. And now that we've lost someone as major as Carl, I'm like, well, I hope we don't still lose Father G. And I don't think the show will do that. So I am interested to see just what in the hell he's going to be doing after this.
Right. For sure, man. So anything else you want to say about Eugene and Father G and what's going on here? You think they'll make it to Hilltop?
Ooh, now that's a different question. I don't know.
If they don't, they're either going to be stopped by people or walkers. If they're stopped by walkers, then they're probably all going to be dead. If they're stopped by people, it's either people we don't know, right? A group we don't know, or it's going to be the group we do know, in which case Eugene's fucked.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they're probably going to make it amidst the chaos, that if I had to put money on it.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we lost the doctor and it became like a futile journey of like, fuck, we risked all this and we still lost him.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if they do kill Father G, that Father G, you know, throws himself in front of the doctor to save him
right
and dies.
I gotcha.
I could see that. That'd be
pretty dope. But so yeah, Eugene's doing his thing. And the chat was reminding me that he was chugging wine last week, not taking shots. That's a good point. Yeah, he's chugging right out of the bottle and barfing.
Yeah, that's true.
Old Bootsy.
Barfing red.
Old Bootsy in there reminded me. Thanks you, Bootsy. So we got Dwight's kind of convoy. So a lot of this stuff starts to run together. So let's just do Ezekiel. Because this doesn't really run together.
It's another sad mission.
So yeah. Ezekiel's place gets raided. There's an explosion, screaming, shooting, and Zeke just bounces.
I love it, man.
He's like, exit stage left.
See ya. In the words of the Shakespearean Hamlet. See ya, bitches.
In the event of a theater shooting. Yeah. Okay. He knows exactly where the fuck he's going.
Fucking out of here.
He bravely ran away.
But brave, so brave, so brave.
He's like, but no. I probably can't beat him with this tiger chain. I don't know why he talks like Morgan now. But yeah, Bullhorn Man. What the hell is this cat's name?
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately, I forget his name.
I don't remember. Yeah. Shit. We're professionals.
Yeah. This is why we're not doing this anymore. Gavin.
Gavin. Yeah. Fucking Gavin.
Gavin.
He's got the
Simon.
Name the name and look of like a shitty Pearl Jam cover cover band.
Yeah, exactly.
Gavin.
I want to run with the lions, released from the cages. That guy. All right. so he pulls out the old Gavin pulls out the bullhorn. He gets to work. And he just says, listen. I like the way this guy kind of plays it. Like, I like the way Gavin plays it, like the reluctant strict parent.
Just fucking annoyed. Annoyed at this.
Yes, like, I've always kind of liked the way he's played this a little bit.
You know, we talked about this last season.
He says, like, listen, shitty position. And not like, I don't want to be the bad guy. Ho, 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 Negan or Simon. Like, hello, hello, hello. He's not playing it like those guys. He's playing like, fuck. He's sort of like just down in his dumps, like, all right, he grabs his lunch pail, he punches in every day, he works the factory for 40 fucking years. All right. They're like, oh, the health insurance costs are going up and we're switching from Harvard Pilgrim to fucking suck my dick health plan and, you know, it's not as good. He's like, all right, okay. Hey, Gavin. You want to work overtime? We really could use your help. All right. He's like that Fine. Guy. Yeah. He's that fucking guy. You know this. Everybody's worked with this fucking guy. And
he strikes me as like, he's like an executive, but the lowest level. Like he's just got out of, you know, the lower levels. And he's like, I am an executive, a fucking middle manager now. And I don't want to go any further than this. I'm not looking to get advanced any further. I got a cushy little spot.
It's true.
I just want things to be easy. And he's like, God damn it. Gotta be out here doing stuff again. Come on. Like,
he has no desire to rock the boat and he has no, he has no political ambition. This guy would never stab Negan in the back because he doesn't care. He just has accepted his shitty existence. He's like, fuck it.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, I don't want to have to kill you.
Got a dental plan at least. Fine. Fuck it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever.
Do I get vision? All right. How much off of frames? I got a daughter needs frames.
He's wearing his reading glasses looking over the savior fucking renewal plan. Like, all right.
My wife needs a pussy doctor. Is that included? All right. I'll work the extra.
We got a pussy doctor, right? Oh, we just got one from Hilltop. All right, good.
Oh, all right. That's Father G bringing him back? He's bringing back the pussy doctor.
I need a butthole doctor, too. You got one of them? Them's are hard to find. Damn it.
Yeah, I don't know what he thinks, but that's the kind of guy he is, I guess. So, he's just saying, listen, we're going to hang our hats here now. This place belongs to whatever. One person has to answer for all this. He goes on and on. He asks for cooperation. He talks about the rules. Does nobody give a shit about the fucking rules? He says that if nobody gives up Zeke, that things are basically going to get traumatic. He appeals to their sensibility. There are kids here, for Christ's sakes. They don't need to see this shit. Huh? Don't make me kill kids.
Come on. Or don't I'm a make, good guy.
Don't make me hang people in front of children. You got 5 minutes, then it's Negan's way. And this is cut to Zeke starting a sizable fire, an explosion. And then there's a rash of confusing things in this episode, and this one starts here. Okay. So he's like, don't look at me go. He sends all the guys with the guns towards the explosions with fire. Then Zeke pulls up on a bus. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking dope. The king came back for his people. They're going to pile onto the bus and drive the fuck away. Out.
Nope.
No. Inexplicably, he smashes into something, gets out of the bus, and lets his people escape through the smashing, right? Because what's her name? Nabila, that kind of big girl. She smashes Gavin and he falls down, which is dumb, but whatever. and then, like, I was like, oh, this is badass. Pile on the bus. Next stop, Alexandria. Jump upon me chariot. Whatever he says. But, and then he just gets out and then he turns himself in to sort of, he buys time for them and then locks Carol out. What is he doing?
Well, he's locking the saviors in there with him to keep them from pursuing.
Okay, cool. You know, the king. That makes sense. Yeah. Do you suppose there was a reason he didn't say onto the bus? Maybe he just didn't have time?
Honestly, I was thinking about that because at first blush, I was like, what the fuck? Dude, you pulled up in the thing that you could bring all these people safely out with. But then I did, to the show's credit on one thing, I'm like, there ain't no way you're getting 30 people single file through those doors fast enough without them turning around and lighting you up. Like, but at the same time, I'm like, the girl who punched the dude in the throat could fire back at them, give them just a little bit of suppressive fire, and everybody pile onto the bus. I'm like, there's still ways you could have done it. I feel like that should have been his plan. He should have been like, everybody on, come on, come on, get on,
get in the
get in the bus. Come on,
School is in session. Get in, come on. No, what if you? Or say he just bangs the left of the bus and he just plows over. He pulls a fucking ISIS and he just plows over all those fucking gunmen.
Yeah. He just chases down the whole party that was running towards the fire. Just fucking
splats them out. That would have been so rad. Like two guys left over.
That's the king's justice. Like just fucking gore, blood covered bus as he rolls away.
He's listening to he's listening to fucking Carl Orff as he does it. That'd be so dope. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I don't know. That'd be great. He should have done that.
Fuck.
Fucking Excalibur style. Well, he doesn't. He's like, I will stay here. I will lock the door with these chains.
Man, I'm not going to lie. I want to see. Fuck Fear the Walking Dead. Give me the side series where where King Ezekiel blasts through here and then never stops. And he's just having adventures in a bus. It's just the Mad King in a bus having adventures across America in the zombie apocalypse. Give me that fucking show. Somebody, please.
He pulls a fucking Nabila onto the bus.
Come on.
And he's like,
Fair Maiden.
And he goes, Fair Maiden, you may sit in any seat. Oh, it's fucking awesome, man. Fucking little social justice while he's at it. That'd be so dope.
Our kingdom has become mobile.
Yes. So, anyway,
fuck.
Where do we go from here? Where do we go now? So yeah, Carol's like, and then he gets smashed and the guy just starts talking shit to him. But we know Morgan's listening in.
That is true. On the other side of the fence.
Yep. That's it.
And now I don't know if you heard about this. Outside of the show itself thing I do know is that evidently Lenny James has already... At least maybe he's only just started, but he has started filming on Fear the Walking Dead. Like he's already doing that. So I'm
to get out of this shit.
Fuck this shit. Going to this sunny LA.
This writing's been fucking despicable, man.
I got a part in Blade Runner. Fuck this shit.
I guess.
But no, it's like what I find strange about that. I'm like, so is he like, is he really in the next half of this season? I'm curious what that's going to – I thought he was going to exit this episode and that was going to be part of it, but nope. So
couldn't tell you, pal.
Still going to save the king, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So we got so TK asks, how are the Saviors able to organize a coordinated counterattack?
Yeah,
I don't
super
know.
Fast.
No clue.
I think it's Simon who – I'm pretty sure it's Simon who says that his guys were the ones who – were able to lead off some of the rest of the walkers and
no,
clear
it was Eugene.
Out. Was it Eugene?
Yeah, Eugene did some fucking... He did the speaker trick thing. Got them... Yeah, we'll get to that. But,
I guess. But Simon says something about he had his guys leading them off even further or something like that.
Like, I mean, if we start getting into the logistics of that, you guys are going to all roll your eyes and turn off the podcast as I rail on it for fucking 20 minutes straight. Fuck this guy's last podcast. I'm glad it's his last.
Fuck him.
I don't care about the logistics of everyone has this place surrounded and you're about to lose to we're all on the back foot getting fucking sieged. What? What? I'll leave it at that. It's a little like head scratching. There's plenty more head scratching to do this episode without trying to figure out how they organize these counterattacks, but we'll just have to go. I don't care as long as Negan's winning. Oh boy. So
alrighty.
That handles Ezekiel. What's up? Is he dead? What's gonna happen to Ezekiel?
Yeah, man, that's shit.
Is he gonna
know.
Be punished? Punished?
Punished.
Punished by fucking Negan? He might be in trouble, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he might really, really be fucked on this one. I don't imagine we're going to get some like rescue op thing at this point. Like shit is way too hectic everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Nobody's got the resources to have a fucking Sam Fisher Splinter Cell operation where they go into Negan's place again to get out fucking Ezekiel. I don't know.
The show definitely turns on a fucking dime though. It really like it goes from something to what? It goes
How
from,
do you mean?
It goes from, like, I mean, Negan is trapped, and we learn that Daryl's stunt is not even a negative consequence to Negan. It went from everybody...
No, that's it. Like, Daryl's stunt, in a way, kind of, like, helped fix it for Negan. That's the thing. Like, they suffered a lot of damage because of it, and zombies got in, but that was also, they were then able to kind of, like, push back out. Whereas before, it was just an untouched mob completely shoulder to shoulder deep out there, and they couldn't really even, you know, crack open a door. I think it was the fact that they got blasted. Like, I think that's what Daryl doesn't realize yet, that it's, like, a little bit him and Tara's fault. Like, it kind of comes back on it. If they had just let it be, let them be surrounded by the ocean, they probably wouldn't have been able to get out.
Interesting. Yeah, I was trying to place that in my head, like, what was it? Because they made it sound like, as I was watching it, that it was the ingenious nature of Eugene that got them out of this thing, out of this jam. Now, obviously, the stakes went up rather quickly because of Daryl's nonsense. Hey, Daryl, don't do anything, dude. Don't do what you do. Remember last time you got cute and then Maggie's husband got turned into fucking brain soup?
That's kind of true.
Come on, man. Like, these people never learn. Don't do that stuff. Be good. Don't be bad. But, yeah, maybe it's a combination of the two. It doesn't matter other than, holy shit, did they smash them out, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that's what happens there.
That's our boy Zeke.
Yeah, that's Zeke. Don't know what's going to happen to him. Not sure. Dumbass reaction shots. What's that?
So should we go ahead and talk about the old Maggie and Jesus Express?
Let's do Enid and Aaron first.
Yeah, there's a real...
This is brief, right?
Pretty brief.
Aaron remembers his boyfriend, whose name I forget. Eric?
Eric.
Got it. He recalls scouting missions with him. Eric's not there anymore. They're on their way to Oceanside to convince them to join.
Yeah. Tough fucking sell there.
Tough. These cells are really good, by the way.
First, you came and robbed us of all of our guns, basically at gunpoint, and now you want our help. Super cool. I feel like if I'm the fucking marketing guy for this whole operation, the only pitch here is like, look, you can hate us, but here's your chance to get revenge, actual revenge on the saviors. Come on. Don't you finally want to put your boots on their throat? Like, we've got them. We've really done damage to them. With you guys' help, we can really finally crush them. Don't you want revenge? Because I feel like that's the only angle you can play up here. Like, there's going to be no, come on, we're the good guys. Don't you want to be up with us? And they're like, no, you fucking robbed us. You're not the good guys.
How are you going to convince them you're not with the saviors?
Ooh,
and you're just drawing them out into a trap, right?
Because that's what I kept thinking. Like, did Enid go there? Did Enid or Aaron go there? I can't remember. I'm like, I feel like maybe one of them did in the episode when they actually go back there to get the guns. That's a thing I don't remember. I feel like that Eagle Eye, Karen, you got to help me out here. Did either of them go to Oceanside before this? Because that was a thought that passed through my mind watching this. I was like, do you fucks know anybody here? Like, do you have any contacts here? Like, do they know your faces at all? Because it kind of seems like Tara's the only one who should be going on a fucking Oceanside journey.
Don't remember. But we know that's the plan. So Enid turns off the highway to a distillery. They're talking about social graces. They don't want to go empty handed. So they're going to bring the old lesbian colony some fucking liquor.
That's right.
That's it. That's what they're going to do. Right. It's going to be nice.
Here's a truck full, magically, an untouched truck 3 years on in the apocalypse of completely unrated whiskey.
Yeah.
God
they
bless
wait.
Us all.
Nightfall comes. And then Aaron sees a silhouette. That was one of my favorite shots of the episode.
The silhouette he
sees. Yeah, it was just cool. As he was sitting in the car reclining, he looks and you just catch the silhouette sliding back behind that other car. I just like that. That was some cool post-apocalyptic scary shit. I was like, oh man, that's awesome. A figure in the darkness.
Yeah, seriously. Because you know that's what on everybody's mind the second you're outside of the walls of like Alexandria. You're like, there are fuckers watching who want to kill you and take your shit.
One of the always, bonuses constantly. Of this episode was the cinematography for sure.
Dude,
Outside of the dumb reaction shots, there's some pretty pictures in this one.
Dude, there is a shot, you know, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but where Carl is in, you know, the midst of Alexandria, stuff's already on fire. He dives away from the house that explodes and it's the slow motion shot of him kind of like getting his bearings and seeing, you know, another building on fire in the mist in the background as he's there. And that that shit looked incredible. That was one of my favorite shots from the show, man. It looked fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we, there's a minor scuffle and Enid just opens fire.
She pulled a little boy, Carl. Little boy Carl from season two, just wasting dudes for no reason in the dark.
Fuck, yeah. Man. That was no fucking Enid Zimmerman over here. She's fucking recklessly firing shots into the darkness.
I didn't realize it was a fucking unarmed grandma.
Yeah, well, fuck that lady.
Yeah, I'm also like, I don't really
in
care.
In retrospect, I don't care.
But also, I'm like, boy, did you guys really bungle up this
fucking
thing.
Hey, you could have shot Aaron just as easily, though, right?
It's true. Hey, it's true.
And she's like, maybe. Oh, no, I'm in so much trouble. They're like, no, you're a white girl. You're okay. We're going to get through this. We got lawyers.
We can afford them. It's fine.
You're a pretty white girl. No, but
you get away with everything.
No, but seriously, it was fucking crazy, man. It was hectic and then kablow.
Yeah. Boom. And then fucking the main girl, whose name I don't remember, that woman's, you know, granddaughter or whatever, is all distraught. And Aaron's really bungled this whole fucking venture. Not getting the promotion, bud.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to go. He's got to go.
You just wasted the leader of this place. I mean, oh, maybe she's okay. And it was just a wound. Yeah, I guess. She looks pretty dead, though. She looks pretty gone.
She's dead. Cindy. Whatever.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. That's going to be a whole thing now. Now they're going to be prisoners of the Oceanside people. They're going to have to set up a thing. That's where, right? That's going to, they're not going to just be like, oh, cool. They're going to be like, okay, you're coming back with us. We're going to fucking murder you. Right?
Right. Yeah. It's probably true.
They might go easy on her, though, because she's a girl. We'll see.
They'll go easy on Enid.
Mm-hmm.
Take out all their anger on the sweaty man who shot their leader.
It's true. But that's that. So don't know what's going to happen with those two. They kind of bungled that up real nice.
Yeah, they're kind of fucked.
They're kind of fucked.
Do we hop over to our girl Maggie now?
Mad Maggie.
Maggie and Jesus. Mad Maggie.
I call her Mad Maggie. That's her new name.
She's leading the convoy.
Yeah, she is. She's Mad Maggie's leaning the convoy. That's what she's doing.
You couldn't give a shit less about
Maggie. Where's she going, buddy? What's she up to?
You know.
Take me through the scene, and then I'll ask the questions.
Oh, okay. Well, we're fucking leading everybody along, fucking Jesus and all the rest of the, you know, the fucking, I guess some of the leftover kingdom people too, right? Like
a bunch of hilltop people too.
It's a bunch of hilltop, but you know they got, you know, the kingdom's lady in there.
Yeah, and you know who? Let's not forget who's in the back seat.
Our beloved red shirt,
beloved Neil, beloved built up over seasons, Neil that we love dearly.
And Neil,
I hope Neil doesn't get killed. That would be a fucking trap. I will write the goddamn showrunner if they kill Neil. I can't do this. You're gonna bite a season one character, and then you're gonna have the fucking balls to kill Neil?
No, Jesus,
that's gonna
first
piss me
they
off.
Shave Rick's beard, and then they kill the last representative of beards on the show. Unfathomable.
Yeah,
unforgivable.
Who's the professor's guy whose neck they cut with a fucking display katana?
Fucking wait, who?
Remember they cut the guy's neck? Who got their neck cut? The guy's neck cut with a katana blade by accident, and then Rick executes the guy.
Oh, yeah. Deanna's
Deanna,
husband.
Eugene. I forget his name. The professor guy. Yeah. That was almost a straw that broke the camel's back for LSG Media's coverage of The Walking Dead. But now, Neil, I feel so just in my canceling of this podcast. The fucking brutal. You guys are so unfeeling. Devastation.
Yeah. A lot of fucking angry letters out there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Angry tumblers dedicated just to the death of Neil.
You guys think you can kill Neil because he's a good old boy with a beard?
Jesus.
What the fuck happened to this country? I'm sorry. So take me through it. Continue.
Yeah. Well, they are herding along in their little fucking convoy, and Maggie sees the downed tree. And she knows. She remembers being corralled the night when they first encountered Negan, and she lost her pizza delivery boy. She knows it's a trap. It's not. Don't you love Jesus' little deflection?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's good. Trees fall down sometimes. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you? What? Dude, who what? Are you? What? Shut up. Man, you suck sometimes, Jesus. Man, you suck a lot of the time, Jesus, actually.
All the time. You can say it.
It's pretty much all the time, man. Fucking so much potential was there when he was introduced.
Yeah. Mm. When it was like Dukes of Hazzard shit when they were chasing him.
That goofy episode.
That was the potential. That was the setup. So then what happens?
Well, their little convoy is blocked, and they are run up by a U-Haul full of saviors. And their whole entire convoy is stopped at the tree and at the U-Haul that is opened up to reveal Jerry alive and so well.
Not Jerry.
Hey, man, I actually do. I was bummed for Jerry.
What are they going to do? Like, kill Jerry? And then what are we going to do?
I actually really thought they might have. In this scene, I was like, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Simon blew off fucking Jerry's head. Mm-hmm. I would not have been surprised, but they didn't do that.
This is kind of brutal.
Wait, this whole scene?
This whole scene is brutal. I'm sorry, it's brutal.
You don't like. See, you like Simon though. I thought you might have. I think Simon is
great, but Simon should be in the fight of his life.
What do you mean,
dude? So here's my problem.
Okay.
Okay. So they're all bullshit. And what do you think, when he's going to, you know, Mad Maggie, she's all like, he's going to surrender when they run out of, you know, poopy wipes and water or whatever she says. And then something happened, the tree's down, and then headlights behind them. Did you pay attention to the headlights behind them?
Yeah. The ones that pull up behind them and run alongside and basically stop the rest of them.
Yeah. If you go to, and it's very important. Okay. If you go to, I'm going to find the exact second in the episode when you're rewatching it. 18 minutes and 32 seconds. There's a shot of Maggie's convoy, and there's a shot of the Savior convoy counting three whole cars. Maggie has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 cars. And
full of fucks.
And Simon walks up and just asks for their guns, and they're handing M4s through the fucking window. Dude, as soon as those cars started to approach from the rear, these people should have known, the rear guard back there, to just open fire. Start fighting immediately.
Yeah.
I hate that they roll up, everyone gets out of their cars, and all of Maggie's people are just like, got their thumbs firmly planted way up their ass.
I can't fight him. I'd have to take my thumb out, and it's warm, and I'm used to it.
Their finger is so deep in their ass that they're fucking tickling their tonsils, man. Come on,
dude. I got used to it. I can't take it out now.
This should have popped off in an epic gun battle right here.
Right.
It really should have. I'm with you. It really should have. They should have fought here. Some of the cars have the armor on the sides. Like, right. Some of them have.
They could have fought and lost somehow. Like, maybe the Saviors had some fucking, I don't know, Molotov cocktails. They blow up one or two of the cars, you know, and it becomes chaos. But I agree. This should have erupted into a fight, at least. They just kind of lay back and take it here.
There's just so many. It's crazy.
And now, I'll admit, I don't really remember, you know, the power of force and disposition of the people that are in those cars. I don't know. I mean, we do see them passing out guns. They're not unarmed, but I don't know if these were mostly like, you know, fucking civvy hacks that they were transporting. I don't remember who all was in this convoy.
Yeah, it's like the box truck pulls up in front of them. I'm watching it right now. Birdie, turn around, she radios, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if she's radioing somebody to turn around, that means her caravan has to be pretty big. Because Karen's saying, oh, I thought it was only two cars. No way. If you have to radio the back of the convoy instead of just turning around and fucking pointing and saying, go, 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 your convoy is massive. Like, it has to be big, right?
Right.
It's a little, if you watch it again and you go to the scene where the first indication is right about, and this is important, okay, go to the 17 minute and 49 second mark. You can see two sets of headlights in the rear, in the rear view, way back, and you see her line of cars behind that. And then their cars start rolling up on them. And there's a few cars. I mean, there's a few, but I kind of felt like, aren't these guys going to, like, you're surrendering after you've declared war. I mean, the box truck drives right past you. And I feel like there was just an opportunity there to open up on and at least fight.
Yeah. At least fight is the problem.
It's weird. It's definitely weird. I don't know. It's weird. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if, if you can tell. Some people are saying it might've been too dark to tell whose cars were whose, but I don't know, man.
Yeah. They should have, I don't know. I guess they were.
And there's no radio. Maybe Birdie could have said, hey, we got headlights.
We got headlights.
Great. Arm up. Get your fucking M4s out the windows and start moving, you know?
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a part of me that thinks that they are in a shit spot right now, and it's kind of still their own fault, but by being confident, like I think especially Maggie, yeah, I think Maggie and Jesus really don't know shit about the current state of the sanctuary right now. They still assume it's just completely engulfed by the walkers, and that's that. But so they think the situation was under control. They weren't ready to encounter saviors, which is still stupid. You should still basically in a state of war, you're going to be ready to be fighting at any given moment. You don't know. Yeah. Maybe your enemy's gotten the better of you this time. You got to be ready. You don't know.
Okay. So
I think
in the chat, Bootsy presents an interesting case. She says, so if they did have that many, were they going because they obviously thought the sanctuary was still under siege? I think so. And I think this goes back to the earlier point with Rick saying if Rick didn't want to press into the sanctuary and deliver the killing blow because he needed the help, he needed right. the help from the other people, I feel like then he probably would have needed Maggie and everybody there to ensure that they could make the win at the sanctuary, right? Isn't that where she was going?
I think so, actually, yeah.
Because if Rick's saying, oh, we got Negan on the ropes. It's almost done. Here's what we're going to do. Remember the whole meeting and he's given the speech and he has the radio and everyone's like, here's why we're doing this. We're about to win. I'm Rick. We're going to win. I got to do one more thing. And then my guess was everyone was going to be there. But a lot of this is shrouded in mystery. But my assumption was Rick wanted everyone to gather up and go to the sanctuary. It was my guess. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he did want that final blow, and that's why he was hauling in the trash people.
Yeah, but then it's also weird because we see Rick in the beginning of the episode going to the sanctuary just with Jadis's people.
Right, right.
So what the fuck is going on in The Walking Dead? Where is Maggie going, and why? Do you see what I'm saying? If you go to the first 2 minutes of the episode, Rick and Jadis are running up on the sanctuary. It's daytime. Where's Maggie going at night? Presumably later that night. Where is she taking her people? If she wasn't going to meet up with Rick to ensure that they could win, was she going to reinforce the kingdom? Was she? I don't remember this. I'm just bad at this. Show, I guess. I don't remember what Maggie said she was going to do.
I'm right there with you. I was having trouble too.
You got to help us out. You should know this. Where were they going?
You host, Karen. You do it.
Karen, where were they going? Anybody, somebody help me out. Where was Maggie going? If not to the sanctuary, because we see Rick rolling up there with Jadis during the day. And then they open fire. Jadis' people run away, as we knew they would.
They do, man. They scamper away so fast. That was truly all for naught. Like that.
That is exactly how I would imagine they would behave. They're like, oh, you aren't winning. Bye.
See ya. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
But anyway, back to the Maggie shit.
Back to the Maggie shit. Yeah. Yep. I do appreciate the consistency of sanctuary savior messaging. Everybody, all of these lieutenants are saying the same shit. They're like, we are going to now, you're not going to be under our control. We are occupying where you're going to live. We are going to fucking be there, hanging our hats. We're going to live among you. We're going to fucking have our thumbs down on you 24/7 because we don't trust you shits for nothing now.
Dude, they're so arrogant. They're so... Like, Simon just standing in the open. These guys just stand in the fucking open.
Totally. Totally.
It's nuts. It's nuts how brazen they are with just being out in the open all the time. Even Negan, when they get to Alexandria and he's demanding their surrender, dude, you don't, there's a guy in the bushes with a fucking rifle and you, that's your ass, man.
Yeah, that's it, man.
It's crazy. Like, I don't know why they behave this way. Like, eight guys standing outside the gates of Alexandria. If I got like two guys or three guys in the fucking woods, I'm going to kill all your friends and you. Like, you're all just standing around with your dicks in your hands. It's weird.
You can't be a big fucking loud ass braggart by not standing around in the open, Dean. Yeah, that's their whole management strategy.
But anyway, back to the Maggie thing. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but if I'm wrong, it's because it wasn't really shot particularly well. It was just really confusing as to where they were going and how many cars they had and how they just kind of surrendered. And they're lucky that Simon said, go home. They're lucky. Otherwise, they would have been all fucked, man.
Because that's
what he says here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He tells them, you're going to produce for us, so.
Exactly. No, he tells her, you got lucky because, you know, like, you're the ones getting the good treatment because you're the Hilltop. You're the producers. You're the farming community, and we need it. So we're not going to crush you guys out so hard. We're not going to follow you home and live there right this second. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he's telling her.
And it's funny. She has 38 prisoners. Simon didn't think to ask her about his 38 missing men, or do you think he just assumes they're all dead?
Either that, or he assumes they're just going to, you know, we're going to be there in short order, and we're going to, you know, we don't have to worry about what you do with him now. Although, again, with the arrogance, because these angry people just go home and slaughter all your prisoners, which Maggie starts to do. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my guess is he just assumes they're dead because he would have to ask if he thought they were prisoners, right?
That's true.
He must just think they got caught up in the fucking fighting and all got killed. Yeah.
Executed by the cold hands of Maggie.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, like TK says, they were counting on the saviors being compassionate. That's such a great point. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. You've seen, you're lucky. You're totally lucky, Maggie, that you didn't get everyone killed.
It's fucking true.
It's total luck.
Ugh, fuck.
Anyway.
So they're disarmed.
They're disarmed, yep. Simon and Maggie talk. How'd you get out? She asks. Simon tells Maggie the kingdom in Alexandria will be taken, but Hilltop was chosen to keep producing. I hope that you can be the one to make things right. Simon tells Maggie that Eugene worked out like a gangbuster, right? This can go... that's essentially because we hear the radio truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And then he gets nasty and he's like, I will fucking kill you in front of everyone and I will put your spike up. I will spike your body up. So
let's fucking... they can all see your corpse out front.
Yeah. And like, he's like, this is a pain in the ass.
Simon's good in this scene.
He's like, great. Stephen Ogg, is that his name?
Yeah, Stephen Ogg.
He's fucking awesome.
That's the thing. Like, coming into this without thinking about the other stuff, I was kind of high on the scene just because I like Simon in the scene. That's always like my favorite stuff of this episode was totally the saviors and just their menacing full bore presence. I was like, I'm kind of into it. Like, I'm just not like I'm rooting for them, but I'm just like, this is entertaining. And so, yeah, in this scene, I just liked how fucking nasty Simon was. And it was a good strategy for me because it wiped away. I didn't notice all of the details of like, wait, this is silly. Why the fuck aren't you shooting them? Mm-hmm. I was just like, man, Simon's a badass. Fucking scary motherfucker. I believe him when he says these
things. Me too. He's like, good.
Gavin says this. I don't really believe him. I'm like, yeah, you'll shoot somebody. Like, that's for sure. Simon, I think, would actually follow all the way through, kill somebody, cut their head off, and stick it up on a pike for everybody to see. Like, he's that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, Maggie goes home, shoots Dean, or shitty Blake Shelton, and I just want Jesus to shut up. I want him to stop talking.
Yeah, just for once. Just for once, Jesus. Fuck off. I cannot believe, I'm glad, you know, it makes sense that they would kill the guy who attacked Jesus. But at the same time, I'm like, really? That little long haired fucker that even the saviors hate?
Jared.
He should be dead. They should have brought out both of them and shot him.
Yep. Hey, man. It's the way it's going to be. I like her move to stick him in that coffin, send him, by the way, which he gives her. Because, you know, that's not going to come back and haunt you. We have 38 more. Stand down, leave it where they'll find it, she tells them. Oof. So that's cool. I like, that's Maggie's finest moment.
Yeah, it's good, man. She's fucking brutal right here.
Mm-hmm.
She's fucking pissed.
Lucked her way into not being murdered. but got very much disarmed. Fortunately, yeah, they still got a few guns, especially the ones they probably pulled off of these saviors.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think this is a portent of things to come as far as Maggie's leadership? Now she's going to be all iron fisted? Because I don't think so. I'm like, this is her blowing off steam tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still hoping we get those leadership moments everyone's talking about. Here's to hope.
Here's to hope.
We got Dwight's convoy, right? He kind of leads the guys in and fucking kills some people. We'll talk about that in a minute. Do you want to talk about, we might as well go to, I guess, the opening with Rick and right into the Alexandria stuff, and we'll kind of work Dwight into that.
Yeah, that makes sense. They all converge.
Let's do it. So Rick and Carl's conversation, it's Carl talking about how you have to do more than hoping. Another character has a conscience and gets killed because of it.
That's right. We've never learned. We have yet to learn the lesson.
Yeah. Every character that tries to help other people, despite the wishes of Rick, ends up dead. I feel like I've seen this before.
Is fucking Gimple like an objectivist and just all against altruism or something? Or is he just fucking trying to sneak in his Ayn Randian message in here? He's like, yeah, I never help people. Don't have a conscience, you pussy. That'll get you killed.
It's funny. Anyway, it's still good stuff out of Carl. I mean, you know, he's trying to be who he's going to be. We see Rick to the sanctuary. Things aren't quite right. They open fire on Rick from the windows, I guess.
Yeah.
That is Jadis and her people
emerging.
Yep. And then we get this whole thing where Carol and Jerry snag Rick. Rick assumes that snipers are dead, right?
Yes.
They were supposed to be covering.
Yep.
They
were not there.
Yeah.
So the saviors at this point have not only, you know, been able to get rid of the zombies that were outside holding them in there. Like they have already made forays outside of the sanctuary and have cleared out the snipers who were up there. They've already been doing shit, which I found kind of interesting. I didn't, you know, I guess they've made use of their time pretty fucking well as, you know, the moment they were able to get the zombies away.
Yeah, for sure. We have to do something more than killing other people. Do you think we will be out there? Oh, yeah, this is Rick. Think we're going to be out there picking strawberries, Negan? Think we'll be out there picking my favorite ice cream flavor, strawberry?
Strawberry.
Fucking Daryl jumps out of the bushes. Someone say strawberries?
Anybody want a crotch of wild strawberries? I got a whole handful.
Strawberry. My favorite flavor. But finding a way forward is harder, Dad. You know, it's easier to beat a child than to teach it. Or whatever that fucking rant is in Seven by what's his name there, Morgan Freeman. But that's what this is. It's harder. It's easier to kill, I guess, is his point.
Right. Right. It is easier to just not fucking think about it, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, I mean, and then Rick, Carol, right, and Jerry get T-boned.
Yeah.
Kaplow.
This is interesting.
Is that how they got Jerry?
Yeah. No, I mean, this is the moment where they're compromised and they get a hold of fucking Jerry here.
Yep. Poor Jerry.
Poor fucking Jerry.
Poor Jerry. So let's talk Alexandria. We got plenty to get through here.
Yeah, there's quite a lot that happens there.
Yeah. Michonne and Daryl, it worked. We will roll in and tell them to give up. Carl's writing letters, right? This one's to Dad. This one's to Santa Claus.
I want that new Xbox that I was a little whiner and didn't take before.
This one's to Enid. I drew the best dick I could.
In this world, I can't send you Snapchats of it. I just got to draw it. I traced it. I flopped it on some grid paper.
Rosita and Tara, they're talking. We opened it up for the walkers. They're in. Rosita talks about the loot. We get this little, like, cute human Jenga scene between these two ladies.
Oh, fuck. Right? Wait, say that again.
It's a little Jenga. Like a little Jenga that piling up. Piling on me. We're friends again. That scene, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a little, all right. I don't care.
I had some. I had some delicious kale soup today, and I was like, ah, you know what would have been a little better to fatten this meal up a little corn. I needed some extra corn on the side.
A little bit of corn.
No, I'm just kidding. Whatever.
Some extra sauce. It's fine. I don't know. I'm very over Rosita at this point of a lot of characters in the show. And she's done some stuff that I just don't know what the fuck they're doing with her. I feel that way about several characters at certain times, but Rosita especially. I don't know.
They should do something with her because she has potential.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, at night, Carl and Michonne chat. He tells Michonne that he is helping a traveler, a wary traveler. Negan shows up with a bullhorn. Let's cut through the cow shit. You lose. It is over. The person with the lamest apology is going to get killed. Basically, this whole thing. You got 3 minutes, and then we start bombing the shit out of you.
Fuck. Mm. I mean, this is primo Negan, though. This is the Negan
that
we were all waiting for when they announced fucking Negan's going to be on the show. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he's going to be Negan. This is the shit, man. Like, I don't know. I love this. I enjoyed the shit out of just the whole setup of him being outside, seeing his massive personal truck, all that stuff.
Where did they get the thumpers?
Dude, I don't know. They must have raided a military compound or something at some point. Like they
was
have
that
some
before or after they were sieged at the sanctuary?
Fucking beats me, because those would have been great for clearing zombies.
Mm-hmm. Or Rich's whole fucking crew.
Because when you actually, you know what? I think they even talked about it very briefly in this episode. There's a lot of stuff that got nipped really quickly in dialogue. But I think part of what Rosita was actually talking about is that they were going to go back to that place that they found, which was like the big, you know, Savior's weapons compound where they were making that speaker truck. Like, I think that's where they went. I think they were – I think that's actually their main armory, and they had been cut off from it. So I think them getting out of there, why that was so bad, it's not just because they're out and now they can attack us, but they can go back to their armory, which they haven't raided yet. You know, the Alexandrians have not – you know, I guess it was fucking Carol. No, it was Michonne and Rosita who saw that place, and they haven't had time to go back there and like do anything about it, get the stuff or secure it or whatever. So it's still just there. And I think all the saviors rolled straight from the sanctuary right over to that armory, got all their good shit, and rolled up to Alexandria and the hilltop and the kingdom.
Is that what you think happened?
Yeah, no, I think that's what they did.
That's absolutely what happened.
Absolutely what's happened? I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's pretty heavily implied that like, they went back to that armory and got their good shit.
Gotcha. Do you know where that was about in the episode? And I'm not challenging you. I'm just trying to remember. My memory's terrible.
I don't think the Savior, I don't think they said anything about it. The armory is definitely mentioned in a conversation between, I think, Rosita and Tara or her and somebody else, but they mentioned having to go back there. And I think that's little, you know, breadcrumbed in there for us to remember, oh, yeah, that big fucking armory of all the Savior's major weapons. They haven't gotten there yet. They haven't secured it. So I think that's what the Savior's got, too.
Gotcha. Okay. Maybe this scene between Rosita and Tara where they're chit-chatting about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it was in there.
Yeah, because if they had those M79s, they would have just fucking rained fiery death down on Rick and all his friends. Like they're doing that, right now. They're blowing up fucking houses.
Dude, that shit was fucking mayhem.
Yeah.
So I guess we have to talk about the talk between our boy Carl and Negan.
Go for it.
When Carl pops his little head up, daddy's not home. and he has this fucking talk here. And man, I enjoyed this actually a lot. I mean, Negan's replies were uncompromising and hard to argue against at certain points, where I love Carl's immediate point of like, there are kids here. There's women and children here. And he's like, there were at our places. We had a little baby girl. What happened to her? Like, he doesn't back down on it. He doesn't let him have this like moral high ground thing.
Right. Got it. It's cool. I like it a lot. It's pretty cool. I like how Negan is like, wait a second. I like him. It's almost like he's skeptical that this kid wants to kill himself. Like, you know what I mean? He knows something's up from jump.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he knows that he's got some kind of counter plan, something. And I think Negan's always kind of had that sense for him, too, for this. I think he can, for one, read Carl well. He reads everybody pretty well. But I think he sees this kind of like, I don't know, kamikaze in him. I think he knows that's there.
Yeah,
Because, I mean, that's how he entered the fucking Saviors compound, in the back of a truck wasting Saviors, which was essentially a death mission, unless Negan spared him.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think, you know, we'll get to Carl, I guess, but none of this shit's fair, kid. Hell, you know that. You had to kill your own mom. That's screwed up. And then he goes on to say, we need someone in charge to make sure the shit doesn't happen. Oh, wait, that's me.
Are they finally ever going to release the fucking F-bomb version of Negan on, like, at least Blu-ray or something? They've talked about that for years. And you can find, there's footage out there that has leaked out or whatever of the, like, completely, you know, uncensored HBO takes. And I'm like, when are we going to get that? Like, they do that still, I think. They shoot Negan being as fucking foul-mouthed as possible, and then they have the TV version. So I'm like, why bother shooting it if you're never going to release it? Whatever. I don't know. I was thinking about that in this scene. I'm like, I want
that. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, you can tell he's not thrilled, but with Carl's like, do you want to die? No, but I will. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
What do you think of Carl here?
I like it, man. I fucking like him a lot in this scene. I liked him just stepping up. I mean, it's a little bit ham-fisted in a way just because, you know, it's like he's the only one. He steps up. But I gotta say, I think it worked in the scene. Him
Me
being
too.
Up on the fence, up high, the only person stepping up here. And it's easy to be like, there's so much history in the show at this point, and people have always made jokes about Carl, and we've fucking made plenty of jokes about Carl too. But there are times when he is good and shines, and as a character can be really interesting. And I like, man, I mean, you can't ever forget that he's a fucking kid. He's a kid, and he is stepping up to these people, this whole force of people that he has seen murder and destroy and kill, and he's had to fight against, and he knows it. He knows Negan at this point. This is not, he doesn't have that teenage bullshit in this moment of like, well, I'm confident because I don't really get the situation and I think I can handle it when I really don't know any better. He knows full well what the situation is. And for once, I believe him when he says some emo shit where he's like, I don't want to die, but I will. Like, I believe him. Like, it doesn't strike me as, ugh, you're saying this because you're 16 and you don't actually understand what that means. Like, I believe him in this scene. And I think he knows that I think him standing up there confronting Negan, he does understand that maybe within a few minutes here, I'm going to be dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice. It was, you know, him getting fired helped him out, I think, you know? It made him, Gimple firing him.
It released him.
It gave him a sense of, you know, man, I'm resigned to it. What else am I going to do about it? He knows how that feels now in real life.
First time getting laid off.
Well played, Gimple.
See, it was all just for the scene.
So this is, we kind of, and I guess we can do this here, but we sort of cut away here and we go to this Dwight thing with Daryl. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Are you talking about the ambush scene?
Yeah, Daryl's convoy, he's like, oh, it'll hold, and it doesn't, because Dwight knows it won't. They smash through, and then Dwight just ices how many fucking Saviors?
Dude, he killed
holy shit.
At least 7 or 8. Like,
it was crazy.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
But, dude, I actually really liked that shot, because you could tell they just had, it was a perfect surprise attack. Like, they had no idea. They're all just in a line looking at, you know, towards the fire that's coming down on them from Daryl and them, totally fucking unready and unaware for somebody to just be right alongside all of them. They're not even looking in the right direction, and they just get fucking capped, man.
Yep. Close range, Moida.
That was pretty badass. I'm not going to lie. I liked it.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it. But Laura's like, what the fuck? She shoots him.
Yeah.
But she managed just to scamper off. I like that she escaped. That was cool.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting. It makes me wonder what they're going to do with her. If she's going to be another person a little more elevated next season.
Maybe.
I mean, or the next half of the season even.
Yeah, maybe.
She makes it out.
Yeah. And that's when that's when Dwight's like, I can help you. I want to win. I want Negan to die. We can settle up after. I like that he adds that part of it because, you know, Tara comes right over. She hates him. She's going to, I'm surprised she didn't just shoot him. But it's Tara and Daryl. I'm like, oh, they're going to kill him, right? It's shocking that they didn't after all that.
That's a fair point.
Right?
I think they still also know that at the end of the day, no matter how much you hate this guy or what he's done, that he's your insider knowledge guy. Like, he's going to know their procedures. Like, he's going to know where their other outposts are, what their backup plans are. You gotta keep this guy alive.
I also think that they know they're already in trouble when Rick gets home. Oh, you want to go? Sure. You want to double down on your fucking punishment with Daddy Rick? You guys are going to be in big trouble.
Seriously, because this is kind of like Rick's. You know, he's like the CIA officer, and this is his contact that he is like, you know, put together a little bit. He's like, I made this deal with him. He's our guy. I put this together. Don't fucking waste him.
Yep. I like how Rosita actually helps him out here. That was cool. While everyone else kind of bounces, and she helps him up.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
I just got to say in the chat, Karen, I can't believe I like Dwight. What the hell is wrong with me? I dig it. And that's that. Like, honestly,
it's
Dwight
interesting
is
characters. That's what it is.
Exactly. Like, he's one of the most interesting characters on the show at this point, at least story wise, just because of his position and what he's having to do, him having to walk the line and be the inside guy and, you know, and still be trying to help the rebellion.
The rebellion is crushed. You think Rosita is going to bang Dwight?
You think?
I'm just asking.
Man, she's really tossed out her standards. She goes from those Spencer cheekbones to Dwight.
I think Dwight can hump.
I think he can hump, but poof, boy.
I think he can lay it down. Get that Freddy Krueger face. I can get into some. You could get her some like hair pulling, ass slap and shit. I think she'd be into that.
Yeah, maybe so.
Think so.
Maybe so. Mm-hmm. He does have the bad boy thing going for him. I think she's into that.
She'd be like, choke me a little bit, white boy. Just a little bit. Just a little. I'll pretend you're Freddy Krueger and I'm dreaming.
Oh, don't slash me. Don't slash my titties. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Something's going to happen with Dwight, right? They're actually going to ice him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I guess he's officially out of the Saviors now. Like, he put in his 2 weeks in that scene, I'm pretty sure.
He shot his way out of town. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Dude, what would have been cool? I mean, so the one thing I don't like about the other Savior girl getting away, Laura is her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about her getting away is that he now can't go back to the Saviors, because if she makes it back to them, then that's it. Like, he'll be outed and, you know.
He's
but
fucked.
If not, yeah. If he'd wasted everybody, truly everybody, then he still could have gone back to the Saviors and kept being an inside man, because he's like, yeah, we got ambushed. I barely made it out of there. Like, mm-hmm. He could have still been in there, embedded in the enemy. But now it's kind of like, nope, you're going to
have
to
I think
us.
He knows that him and Eugene came to a head, and going back would be a bit dangerous, especially true. Amidst all the other deaths, you show up back there. Now you're asking Eugene to turn you over.
It's true.
Yeah. I think he got out at the perfect time, actually.
Yeah. No, he picked his moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is cool.
Well, which is cut back to, let's go back to, we see, son of a bitch, Carl bombs away because of all the attacking that happens. Carl deploys smoke and starts to roll out. Carl's limping away as the Saviors pour into Alexandria. Another house explosion. Decent cinematography here. Negan's truck smashes through the gates. Negan assumes Carl is still there and starts to order everyone to look for Carl and to blow up every other house. He'll be at Rick's eating spaghetti. Love that.
Yeah, that was a fucking great callback. Good
great
line.
Callback. A guy spots Carl and he pops some smoke, dips into the sewer like fucking Ninja Turtles.
I also just love
Master Shred. Are you down here?
Whoa! You guys bring cheese?
Nice.
Some parm?
Are all your houses getting blown up?
Far out. Gnarly.
Yeah. Negan's so fucking gnarly.
We're gonna chill with Negan. I am Negan, dude.
I can't wait to find Negan and do spin kicks at him. They all go back down to the sewer. Michonne doesn't for a minute there, right?
For a minute.
Alexandria is in fucking shambles. Rick gets back to Alexandria. He's running around like Rick does.
Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, shit.
Oh man. God damn it. I can't believe all my this. Stuff. All my stuff and things.
All my stuff. All my things.
Oh, shit.
Did they blow up my house yet? All right.
My one pair of underwear that I elected not to wear today.
Yeah. I love running in cowboy boots. My favorite thing to do.
Oh, man. Blister hell.
You need some high-tech magnums. Anyway, Negan beats the fucking brakes off of Rick. Let's talk about this shit. He goes home looking, Carl, Judith, and I guess Michonne.
I guess.
Where are you guys? And Negan. So something
it's
else.
A good fight though, man.
Yeah. So Rick comes in. You smash Rick. Aren't you worried that Rick might have a pistol?
Fucking A.
Before
man.
You start your gloating? This is what I mean. Bad guys gloating. It's gonna
gotta catch
them.
Up.
It's gonna catch up.
And I don't know why. I mean, Rick, I guess he does go for his gun and he whacks his arm.
Yeah.
But still.
But, yeah. Rick goes for his pistol and then gets smashed out the fucking window. But there's one moment where he clips Negan and Negan, like, goes stiff and goes straight back. It was really funny. But, man, Negan smashes Rick so hard through the window.
Dude.
It's cool seeing Negan fight. I appreciated it. It was awesome.
Yeah. We've needed more of that. I wanted to see him get fucking physical.
Yeah.
And it's good, man. This was a solid fight.
Man, I was looking at the comic and he's kind of like a big guy. Like
he's looks like way a, bigger.
Yeah,
than the comic.
Way
yeah.
bigger ranger kind of cat that you don't want to fuck with.
That's honestly what I was a little bit surprised by. Like, I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan's still great, but like he's still pretty like he's tall and big, but he's very skinny. Like he's a smaller dude. And the thing is, when he played
it's
the
like
comedian,
he lost weight for that one movie and then his ass disappeared. He should have fucking been pounding the weights.
That's what I'm saying. No, do you remember what he looks like as the comedian in The Watchmen?
Oh yeah.
Dude, he's fucking huge in that movie.
Yeah.
He's a beefcake. And I'm like, dude, that's what he should look like.
Yeah.
He can totally pull that off.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, dude, that hit when that good hit that Rick got in on him that sends him back, that's actually one of the more convincing TV fallovers in a fight that I've seen. Like that shit looks real. That's what
fucking
that's
flash
what falling
KO.
Down from getting hit in the fucking face for real looks like.
It's a nice flash like KO. Goes, like he goes out for like 2 seconds and then quickly comes to.
right. As Rick's above him just pounded on his face with his own bat.
Joe Rogan would have been
you
like
touch her!
Rogan would have been like, he's hurt.
He's hurt.
But anyway, we go to Michonne getting what is this 1980s horror movie bullshit? The guy grapples her. We're winning. Hey.
I'm surprised he didn't try to lick her.
It's
I'm
really
just a piece
goofy.
Of shit. I'm just it's, a fucking, I'm nothing but villainy.
It's really goofy. She's like, I'm going to grapple you so you can do cool killing to me. She chops the top of that zombie's head off, which is awesome.
Dude,
I like that.
Shit's so good.
That's vintage Michonne.
Exactly, man. Dude, I will never get tired of seeing her lop zombie heads off of that thing. That's never, I'm always going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so refreshing. So good.
Yeah, what Sticks a weird thing to do, eye. Though. I got you. He's like, ooh, like I'm going to tickle you. She's got a fucking giant sword in her hand. Like,
dude, he thought that was his savior girlfriend also running around. And he's like, we're going to have a good time now, right? Oh, fuck. You're not her.
Yeah, exactly.
On my face.
She goes all, what's that movie? Patriot with Mel Gibson on this guy?
Oh, yeah. Some poor fucking enlisted British piece of shit.
Yeah.
Just get hacked to death by a crazy man in the woods with a hatchet.
Yep.
Yeah, she's seeing red in this scene.
Michonne and Rick run into each other, and then they head into the sewers. Into the sewers?
Into the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
And that's it. What happens in the sewers, Matt? Do you remember?
It's the big fucking reveal.
It's the big one.
Also, we get a little more little close-ups on faces looking around.
Oh,
reaction shots.
Come
Dean's
on.
Favorite.
Please, season 9, don't do that. Whoever's decision that was, just stop it.
But not going to lie, though, this scene, the way it's actually framed,
it was
just
good.
The whole setting of the big round tunnels that they're in, like so debased and lowered and defeated and just getting kicked in the ribs pretty much at this point. Dude, you know what it reminded me of? No joke. That scene in Terminator 2, the walkthrough with John Connor in the future when he's walking through, you know, his scrappy rebellion of human soldiers, like just walking through the tunnels, seeing the squalor of where we're at now.
Oh, that was my... In Terminator 1, they did that, and it was amazing.
Was that Terminator 1 or Terminator 2?
Terminator 1, bro.
Well, no, there is a scene, though, in Terminator 2 where it's just like a quick flash forward. Maybe I am thinking of
Terminator 1. Yeah, Terminator 1, it's even better. They walk through and, like... It's like that. The fucking best Terminator Terminator track of all time of the music is that particular track. And they're just, he's walking through and you just hear like crying and all this terrible shit happens and they're hanging out. And then the dogs, bah, 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 and the fucking Terminator goes in and just ices everyone. It's so badass. That's Terminator 1, because Reese's dream. He's like sitting there and he sleeps in the car.
That's right.
And it's like the fucking drills and all the equipment. Like, it's like, you know, excavating equipment. He kind of nods off on this construction site. And then he wakes up and he, like, cranks his shotgun. And you're like, oh, that's so badass.
And in Terminator 2, it's just we get that zoom out of future John Connor's, like, scar face. That's what it is. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's a different one.
That's a different one. That's a different one.
But the Terminator 1 is so good. It's my favorite music track in the whole movie. I love that scene. I watch it so many fucking times. And then,
because
at the end of it, Reese, like, he flips up out of the car and he's like, he's holding a picture of Sarah and he's getting burned alive. And then he wakes up.
Oh, so dope.
I forgot about that.
Fuck, that's such a good scene. Hey, let's go watch Terminator after this.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Shit. But no,
you're right. I like the comparison. I think it's a very good comparison.
Yeah. Like, they have really, truly been beaten down here. And here they are. Walking through the remnants, the leftovers, the survivors that we have. I guess this is the first time that Rick really meets Sadiq, right? Like, he'd seen him before, chased him away, firing into the air, but he'd never really gotten a look at this guy or been introduced to him. And, you know, he stops, he doesn't say anything to him, but he looks at him for a long beat. And then he looks over to Carl, who is obviously not doing well. And Rick and Michonne both immediately know it. He looks like a fucking ghost. He's pale. Mm. And this is it, man. The reveal. He has got a big... And that's what I was like, no, like...
It's pretty, he looks bad, man. He looks
really fucking bad.
And Andrew Lincoln's amazing.
Of course, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, nobody does this. Everybody makes jokes about it later on the internet of, like, Rick being all crazy and emotional. But, like, in these scenes, he's incredible, man. He's an incredible fucking actor. He can throw that weight around.
He's just so exhausted, man. Like,
totally.
Like, it's just this, the defeated look on his face is pretty intense. It was a cool pull out, like the way they back off on the camera. And it's just, it was good, man. I liked it. I thought the scene worked really well. I liked it a lot.
I like that they say nothing. Mm-hmm. That was one of my favorite parts of the scene, that it is.
Yep.
Because, I mean, one of the strengths, and we don't talk about this enough when it comes to Walking
Dead,
actually.
And it's not a cliffhanger. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
That's true.
If he lives, oh my God.
Oh, I will.
People will fucking run away from the show at the fastest speeds possible.
It would be the most upset with the show I've ever been, because I haven't even been as upset about some of the things as other people have. Like, honestly, and we talked about this way back. Actually, you know what? First, before I go off on that, I don't want to forget what I was going to say. One thing, a strength of The Walking Dead that we don't talk about, because at the end of the day, you have any dramatic, you know, narrative piece of television that's gone on for 8 years. The biggest hurdle of that is, well, what the fuck story are we gonna tell now? We've kind of told everyone. What else do we do? Like, that's a hard thing to get around. The benefit of that, though, is, and honestly, this is the reason I keep watching and will keep watching, is that there are characters in here, not all characters. Like, we talk about, like, Rosita and Sasha were kind of characters they seemed like they don't really know what they're doing with. They don't have much for them to do or say a lot of the time. And there are characters that are inherently problematic because it's like, what's an interesting thing they can do? I'm not really sure. But our main characters are Ricks, our Carls, our Michonnes. These are the characters that we have been with them for years now. Like, it's not like other shows when, you know, it's like, okay, I'm 2-3 seasons deep. I'm still getting to know them. You know, we're still figuring it out. But it's like, this is the only show on television now still that I watch where I have not an investment in the story. Not just an investment in a story or I care about what happens to these characters. I have a familiarity with them, like with their faces. Like, I know, I can imagine how Rick would react to a situation. I can imagine what his face would look like the same way that you could, like, a friend. Like, mm-hmm. I have seen his face in so many situations that I can predict and think about them. And that I don't know any other characters on any other show that well, that haven't been running long enough for me to know them that well. And that is a true strength of this show. And so in this scene, we don't need dialogue. It didn't need me. What could you even say? Oh my God. Oh no. Oh, Carl, what happened?
Right.
Like, we don't need any of that. Like, for me to see Andrew Lincoln's face and Danai Gurira's face, that's it. That's all we need. And Carl, you know, we have this knowing exchange and the doom and the tragedy of it, and Rick just beginning to process it. And we can see it all in their faces. We don't need anything else. And that's a moment of this show using what it has as its, main strength, that we have a true familiarity with these characters. We know them and their feelings very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible, man. I think Rick here, I think Andrew Lincoln sells this scene. And for me, it's always anything that ever resonates with me emotionally is always watching somebody else react to tragedy. And that is what always gets me going. Carl dying in a vacuum, I'd be like, wow, that's pretty terrible. But watching Rick react to Carl's fate is what would get me emotionally. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally. Totally.
And Andrew Lincoln's just good here. I mean, it's good that we see this. I thought this is a pretty classy way to end this episode. Like you said, there are no words. What is he going to say? Is he going to freak out and blubber and squeal? No, man, he's fucking exhausted. It's just a situation. It's sad for him to go through this, and it's just a tough blow to the entire. Just the whole morale of the team is going to be hurting with Carl's death, and it's, of course, a sad one. And I like the way they did it. I like the way it played up. I like the way that Carl kept it secret, the way Carl's behaved. I told you with Carl and Sadiq, and I've been pretty rough on the season, but I said I did like the stuff between them. Yeah, I did like their discussions. And it's because I kind of feel like, ironically, Chandler Riggs is kind of coming into his own. He's becoming a grown-up, and he's a better grown-up actor than a kid actor. And sometimes it's the opposite way. People are great kid actors, and they're terrible when they're grown-ups. And it's rough. It's rough that he got dealt the hand that he did. Again, I don't know all the details of it, so I don't really want to speak out of school, but sounds like he got a raw deal that he didn't quite expect. His dad was pretty upset about it, Chandler's dad. And it's too bad, but I thought that they did it in kind of a cool way. It wasn't overly cheesy. Part of me wonders if we're going to flash forward and he's going to be dead, or if they're going to do some crazy, Carl's going to be like, Dad, let me do this last thing, and fucking kamikaze his way into something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it'll be interesting to know. But yeah, man, let's do some listener comments. What do you say?
I'm ready.
All right, man. You want to go first?
Hold on just a second. Pulling them up. Beep. Oh, wait. Sorry, that wasn't loading.
I'll go first. Deborah Mercuro says, I'll start off by saying this episode will bring forth an amazing podcast. Second, I had a gut feeling Carl was a goner, but I also had no idea how sad it would make me feel. I didn't see it happening the way it did. Well played, The Walking Dead, and way to show you have balls. In the beginning of the episode, when Negan arrives, a close-up shot of Carl's sweaty face and the speech he gave Negan, and I still wasn't putting it together. Not to mention how absolutely impressive his acting was this episode. It only took 7 years or so. Remembering the time frame, I believe Carl had just arrived back with Sadiq earlier that day, so it makes sense. I didn't mind Maggie giving up in that moment because she technically didn't. She's still blah to me, but I get it. I'm not sure why Aaron and Ian are going to Oceanside. Maybe I missed something because their conversations were so boring I tuned out. Even though Rosita is ruling out Daryl's decision as an accident, I do understand what she's saying, as maybe it's happening the way it always was supposed to. I'm pretty sure King E is dead, so that being said, RIP Carl and King E. Oh, and Neil. Who the fuck is Neil? P.S. They have totally gotten to me because I am now officially on board with Dwight. Boom. Those were some good thoughts this week, Deborah. Thank you very much for writing in, and thank you very much for what you posted on the Facebook page about how you found us, how Damara sent you over. That was really nice of you to say that. It was sweet of you. To anybody else that wrote into, like, that just said, hey, thanks for so much. Thanks for getting us through the show. And But I guess we can talk about that in our final thoughts. Thank you for your comment, Deborah. Have a wonderful night.
All righty. And it would not be a proper LSG Media Walking Dead podcast without the comment being read by Karen Eagle Eye Lomas. So here we go. She said, Carl going out the way he did was extremely sad and so brave. His story arc has been one for the books. From a fresh little kid who never stayed in the house to killing everything on sight and ending by being the moral compass. Just one question. What's going to happen to the hat? Carl's hallmark moment with Negan left Negan spellbound. Will his death send Rick over the edge? What the fuck? You had Lucille in your hands. Come on, guy. I know you are at the writer's mercy, but I would have protested and asked them. WWRD. Daryl, really, if you had a gun to my head and you asked me if what went down was my fault, would I say yes? Hell no. Everyone here is all upset because Maggie gave up so easily. Did anyone see the caravan of saviors behind their two cars? How the heck were they supposed to do anything else? Oh, we talked about that a little bit, Karen.
We did.
But she finishes out with, so with Carl gone, one has to ask who will take over. Could it be Judith? It's a possibility. That would mean at her young age, at least another 100 episodes of my favorite show while they train her to become the fearless leader of the new world. Fucking dope. I love it.
I got more to read. TK421. It wouldn't be fair not to read him as he was a big fan of the show. He says, at one time, this was the best show on TV. Now, unfortunately, it is a shell of its former self, derivative and perfunctory largely. I think because AMC wants to milk their cash cow for everything it's worth. The show should have ended several seasons ago. The Walking Dead will have a special place in my heart. It was at one point my all-time favorite show. Good stuff, yeah. TK.
Deep down in there is a small shriveled heart that still beats.
And his heart grew twice its size. Who else do you want to read?
I'd like to do Miss Susan A. York. And she said, despite this show's flaws, I loved it. I was tense as hell, yelling throughout. My husband, who hates the show, came to look at scenes. When Carol showed up alive at the kingdom, he yelled out her name happily. I'm glad the saviors were mad as hell, even though I hate them. The actor who plays Simon crushes this role.
Yeah, yep. He's great.
Very with you about Simon there, Susan.
Awesome. Let's keep it rolling. I got somebody else I wanted to read. Where was she? Where is Maria?
Flying dash.
Where are you, Maria? All right. Maria says, it's Monday. TBW podcast is ending and Carl has been bitten. Insert sad face. All I kept thinking about afterwards was who's going to kill Carl when he turns into a biter? What did he say? The biters. I also kept thinking about Carl's a biter. You should listen to me, Rick. She says, all I kept thinking about afterwards was who's going to kill him. I also kept thinking about how freaking annoying Eugene has been and why he has gotten so much screen time. And can someone please tell me how quickly everyone seemed to travel all within the same day? Or over 2 days?
All right. I got one from Mr. Craig Daly.
All right.
And he said, I had heard a character died in this episode and I had a horrible fuckery feel when it seemed to be only Grandma and who the fuck is Neil? Contract problems and comics screw you notwithstanding, I think this was a ballsy move. I had to rewind to confirm it was a bite. We wondered, had he been shot? And me and my lads were rather surprised it was Carl biting, or that should be rather be bitten by the dust. I have heard the phrase a bit of a Walking Dead move as a sometimes legitimate complaint. It is good to see the Walking Dead pull off a bit of a Game of Thrones move this time. Cue mental disintegration from Rick.
Nice. Nice. I got one more. Rich Krieger. Kirkman always said this is Carl's story. With the feuding between Nicotero, Kirkman, and the network, this is something more than a fuck you to the creator of the source material. Carl should not have died. As you can tell, I'm a believer in the old man Carl theory, and the show took a crap all over a possibility good and lasting story possibility. Oof, that's word soup. But I got what you're saying. Boom. What do you think about that, Matt?
Wait, say that last part again. I was trying to find my next comment.
Fucking whore. In other words, he's saying, okay, I'll read the whole thing again. You going to pay attention this time?
I'm there. I'm there.
Kirkman has always said this is Carl's story. With the feuding between Nicotero, Kirkman, and the network, this is nothing more than a fuck you to the creator of the source material. Carl should not have died. As you can tell, I'm a believer in the old man Carl theory, and the show took a crap all over a possibly good and lasting story possibility.
Mm.
Do I need to read it again?
No, actually, yeah, start over. Go back.
Kirkman has always...
Fuck you. No, there's a part of me that really likes the old man Carl thing. The idea of him inheriting, you know, the world, and Rick passes it on to him, passes on the leadership of it all. That's compelling in its own way. There's a part of me that likes the idea of him dying more, though. Not that I'm like, yay, Carl's dead, but just like, I think for one, it's a bit of a gutsier move. And I like the show, why I like it deviating from the comics a little bit more than it normally does is that it frees the show up a little bit more. Like, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Like, I think at times the show is hampered by how much it tries to hew to exactly, well, they do like this in the comics, you gotta do like this on the show. And I'm like, there are times you don't need to, and times you flat out shouldn't. And I think this mixing it up like this makes me think, okay, there's some fight left in you. We can really do something different. We can go down a path that has not been seen in the comics, you know, really change up some of our characters and the way their, you know, dynamics are in a major way, more than just, oh, this person died and we're all really sad about it for a couple episodes. Like, this is different now. Like, Rick will not be the same person. He will not pass on. It's not just I'm raising my boy and then I'm gonna hand it off to him. That's gonna have to totally change now. It's something gone. So I kind of, at this point, man, I think I'm in favor of a tragic death for Carl.
As somebody who hasn't read the comics, I dig it.
All right.
I dig it. I think it's gutsy. I like that. I like it. I think it is liberating from a story standpoint. It opens up the story a little bit more. I'm interested to see what happens with Rick. Is Judith going to become the old man Carl theory? But you know what I'm saying? Not that particular theory. Maybe she's going to be the one that takes over, like maybe Karen suggested. I don't know. But I like to see... It'll be interesting to see what Rick does now. I mean... Are we going to get some of the same things with Rick and Judith as she gets older? Is that going to be what it is? I mean, are they going to fast forward ever? I don't know what they're going to do, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's gutsy, but I'm definitely curious about it. And here's one thing I will say about this show, and I'm going to roll this right into my final thoughts, and that's this. I've read all the spoilers at like last week. I just, Matt and I went on to fucking Wikipedia and just read all the comic spoilers for fun because I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up with The Walking Dead as much as I want to. And I'm not going to spoil anything by saying this, but I'm just going to point out that, man, things look kind of interesting in the future. And that's all I'm going to leave it at. So if the show can capture some of the interesting source material, I think they'll be doing a good move. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But let's talk final thoughts. How would you like to say goodbye?
Boy, I haven't really even stopped to think about that. I've just been approaching this like any other episode we've ever done. We just hop on and do it. Fuck, man. It's crazy. It's our last one.
The podcast, as we mentioned last week when we played the voicemail, this podcast brought Matthew and I together. Some listeners that we've had for as long as we've had are here as a result of this podcast, and I will forever be in debt to the podcast as a result of that. Totally. I've met cool people, virtually speaking, as a result of doing the Walking Dead podcast, and because of that, it'll always mean something special to me. There's still plenty of episodes to go back and listen to. If you're just finding this episode and wondering why there are no more, well, we've made a decision. A difficult decision to cancel the show and move on to some other projects that we're looking to do. And it's not impossible that we revisit this in the future. You know, maybe we'll come back and do a season 8 finale. I don't know. But,
the feed will always be there.
The feed's not going anywhere. We're not going to cancel the feed. We have a Facebook page. You'll see people talking about episodes on there and still doing that thing. And I'll probably, if I can think about it. So here's what I'm going to do. If somebody wants to step up to the plate and post up, you know, hey, get your thoughts on the episode and post an image, they can do that. I'll try to do it. I can't promise it's always going to happen. If somebody wants to take that over and keep it going, then go ahead, man. The Facebook group is not going anywhere. I'm going to keep that up. The podcast is going to stay where it's at. I'm not going to pull the show down. You can always go back and listen. And that's just the way it's going to be. So, yeah, I really appreciate everyone who tuned into this. I appreciate a lot of the feedback I got. Some people emailed asking me to reconsider, giving me reasons why. I appreciate the spirited efforts. I wasn't denying you because I was being spiteful, but because Matt and I have put a lot of thought into this. So, yeah, man, I've had a blast. The Walking Dead was definitely a polarizing show. A lot of times that became fun, made it fun to cover. Differing opinions, being able to be critical of the show. My problem is this, man. Like, I was thinking about this today when I was heating up my soup. I was thinking, dude, like, I feel like I'm starting to sound the same every week. And that's when I'm like, all right, I got to change things up. Like, that was thinking about that this evening before getting on the mic. I thought, I keep coming back to the same things over and over and over again, and that is just shitty to me. First of all, I don't want to say the same thing over and over and over again every week, and I don't want this to be like a podcast where we start getting reviews like, you don't even like it, why do you cover it? So you know what? You're right. You're right.
You're right.
I don't hate the show. I don't think it's a giant piece of shit. I feel very much like TK. I just say it a little bit differently than he does, and that's, I don't know if it is what it once was, and we're busy people, and we gotta keep plugging away on other projects that we've sort of committed to, and let Walking Dead be. Well, we let go of the fucking bicycle and watch our baby ride off into the sunset, and hope it makes good decisions, and hope that all the people who watch the show, I hope the show is continue. I hope the Walking Dead TV show continues to be good to you. I hope you still get the enjoyment out of that you do. I hope they don't fuck you. I don't, you know, man, I don't like canceling the show. I'm not going to sit at home like some scumbag and cheer if it fails, man, whatever. Be the best show on TV, get the most episodes ever, make a gazillion dollars for all your actors. That's fine. That's cool. I just hope that the viewers who listen to this show, our listeners who still love and watch the show, I hope you don't get fucked because you guys deserve better than that for giving AMC the ratings and the time and the money. I hope that they do things with the narrative you want them to do. And I hope you'll consider listening to some of our other shows. You know, if you like us, if you like Matt and I, if you tolerate my bullshit, then, you know, we got a Battlestar Galactica podcast, a Game of Thrones podcast, a Westworld podcast, a Stranger Things podcast, an X-Files podcast, a science fiction film podcast. We have podcasts for days. You should check them out, man. So that's my big hellabaloo. Goodbye. I love you guys. Cool. We appreciate everything you've done. The Walking Dead has got plenty of good tape out there in the world that it can be proud of. We're not canceling this because they're assholes or anything. So
no. And that's man. I've said it before. I'll say it again briefly. You know, I love this show, man. I still do. It's a show that, like we talked about a while back, especially when we covered Dawn of the Dead on the science fiction podcast, I wanted this show as a kid. I wanted it to exist. I would like wish for this fucking show to exist. I was like, man, the idea of an ongoing saga of survival and the zombie apocalypse would just be the coolest fucking show ever. I would die for that show to be on TV. But it's never going to be on TV because I'll never put zombies and violence.
For me, that was Game of Thrones. I was like, imagine if they had not just like a movie, not just like Excalibur. Or right. Conan the Barbarian. But imagine if they had like a fucking story. Saga. Yeah. Not just three Lord of the Rings movies, even though that was good. I don't want to get greedy, but I kind of want to get greedy. I kind of want a whole show, you know? So I totally hear where you're coming from. Continue.
And like that was, so it was a big deal for me when this was announced. Like me and my dad were like excited about this. And my mom was not excited about this. We had to drag her to it. And now she fucking loves it. Now I call home from across the country every week and we talk about The Walking Dead for 20, 30 minutes on the phone and catch up about it and speculate. And I still watch it with a couple friends of mine every now and then. We get together and sit around and watch it. I don't have any other shows or movies that are like that. Like this is it's a different, I don't think of this show as I think of other TV shows. It's a different thing for me. And walking, and you see it. I mean, like, Walking Dead fandom is huge and committed. I mean, it's like fucking Star Wars fandom practically. I mean, there's conventions and, you know, fucking Karen's been to all of them. I mean, she got fucking Aaron to shout us out. It's crazy. Like, it's awesome, man. I have a lot of history with this show. And yes, there's been plenty of legitimate criticism and things have change, and it doesn't, I'll admit, it doesn't feel exactly the same to me as it used to, and not for exactly the better. But like I was saying at the end of the episode, this one that we just covered, I still care about these characters, which is a crazy thing to think about. This fictional fucking show that should be silly. It should have been silly from day one. We're talking about fantasy fucking zombie fighting adventures, and it's gory as hell, and it's on prime time. Like, well, that's crazy. It's crazy that it was ever successful at all. But I give a shit about Rick, man. I care about them. I care about Michonne and what's going to happen. And that's a hard enough thing for a show to accomplish. And yeah, maybe they're not handling it as good as they could have. But it's a big deal for a show to have persevered and existed as long as it has. And for the people involved to be something that I give a shit about and care about them more so almost as people than just characters on a show where I'm just interested about what happens next in the plot. So yeah, man, like I'm still there, man. I'm still fucking there for this. And I'm looking forward to where we go from here. It's a sad, sad little leave off point. You know, fucking Carl's died. That's crazy shit. And I swear, I know we were talking about this last week. You don't remember it, but the first episode we ever fucking covered together, I'm sure of it, was the one where the governor had attacked the prison. Prison was down and Rick was all beat to shit and it was just him and Carl, and that was the episode where Carl ate a big jug of pudding on the roof and it was a Carl episode, man, and we're ending on one.
How about that? Cool. Perfect bookends. Awesome.
It's sweet. So we will see you guys. I will be very active in keeping the Facebook Walking Dead page for our Walking Dead page up and going.
You heard it.
Plans.
You heard it.
Things I will be putting on there. It will be a place to talk about The Walking Dead for the foreseeable future. No fears.
Awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much. This is LSG Media. We're signing off. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning into another episode of The Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right, we'll see you next time.